This morning, I want to start our thought process down the road of Thanksgiving. This morning, we're going to talk about what it means to be Thanksgiving people. You see, the retailers might skip over this holiday. The whole marketing world might just think it goes straight from Halloween to Christmas. And really, if you pay attention, a lot of Christmas gets started even before Halloween now, which, you know, is what it is. But we recognize that there is this time of year that we are in right now that's all about Thanksgiving. And for the Christ follower, for the passionate Christian follower of Jesus Christ, it isn't just one time of year, just like when we talk about Christmas and we're going to say, you know, we really need to celebrate the birth of Christ every day. And then when it's Easter, we're going to say, you know, we really need to celebrate the resurrection of Christ every day. And we do. We really need to celebrate Thanksgiving every day. Did you just hear what Will read in 1 Chronicles? He says, "The Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them." What the writer here is telling us is like, you know, we have dominion over all the earth. We're told that in Genesis, in the beginning story. We're told we have dominion. But here we're told, you know, follow the lead of everything in creation and praise God. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Now think about what the sea is doing every day. Wave after wave, push after wave. Even those silent waves that are out in the middle of the ocean, that aren't crashing on the shore, that aren't making a sound, that aren't doing anything, just wave after wave after wave, proclaiming, "Thank you, God, for making me, for forming me, for giving me the power and the energy that is within me. That the fields be jubilant as that wind rustles over, as the plants and the trees and the bushes just sway in the breeze. And even when there is no breeze and they're standing still like statues, just proclaiming the goodness of God." I mean, how many times have you been driving in your car or just taking a walk and you come up on a tree and you just see it and it just strikes you as, how beautiful is that? I don't know if you guys take the back way to Murfreesboro, but if you take Avoca Road here and then go, you know, wind around and then take, if you're right after the stop sign past the lake and you're driving out that way, there is an oak tree out there on the side of the road that is about 20 feet in diameter, it seems like. You know the tree. And every time I'm just struck by its majesty, just standing there. Not doing a thing but glorifying God. And we're told, do that every day with every breath. So as we look at 1 Chronicles 16, just as an opening salvo of this sermon, I want us to understand that Thanksgiving, while forgotten by so many, not really marketed by our society, it's how we live. It's how we breathe. It's who we are. So I want to look at some characteristics of Thanksgiving people. Some qualities that we have to have if we're going to be following the lead of all else that is created by God. If we're going to like the trees and like the field and like the all of that, to like the sea. If we're going to be and have the qualities of Thanksgiving people, what does it look like? Because it's one thing to say, "Oh, thank you. I give thanks. Let's give thanks." So if they, you know, it's one thing to sing about that. But what's it look like on an average, everyday situation to be a Thanksgiving person, to live thanksgiving. You know, there's sermon after sermon after sermon that use the very clever play on words. It's not thanksgiving, it's thanksliving. Oh, great. However you want to say it, what does it look like? How do we be that? How do we live that? Well, the first thing that I want us to see is thanksgiving people aren't easily fooled. You know, one of the, and I've made this clear. There are certain shows on TV that I super duper love to watch. And I love anything related to gold in Alaska. I mean, you got Gold Rush, you got Wild Gold, you got Bering Sea Gold. Bering Sea Gold. Have y'all ever seen that show, Bering Sea Gold? Listen to what these people do. They get a boat and they put it out in the Bering Sea, which is frigid in the summertime. Okay? It isn't like, let's just go down to the Gulf of Mexico and go splashing around at Panama City. No. It's 5 degrees in July there. All right? It's in Nome, Alaska. They get a boat, they put a big giant suction vacuum thing on it, and then they put somebody in a wetsuit, and they throw them overboard. And then what they do is they drop down this big tube hose, and what they got, and they have a big handle on the end of it, and they walk around underwater, sucking up sand and dirt and gravel, looking for gold in the Bering Sea. Doesn't that sound like a very fun job to have? At the end of the show, and every time it's disclaimer, you know, because they make it look like, oh, you can just go there and get $1,000, $10,000 a day in gold. Let's do that. It says people die doing this. 4 people died filming this episode. I love that show. And then Gold Rush, they actually dig it up with shovels and backhoes and stuff like that. And, you know, but all this gold. It's fascinating to me. I like watching it. But there's this, there's something out there called iron pyrite. Do you know what that is? Fool's gold. And it looks just like gold, but it's worthless. I mean, from the outside, you can see it. And many people have been fooled and they, you know, go into creeks and whatever and panning for gold and, oh, look, we got gold. And they get it to somebody who knows the difference. And they say, this isn't valuable at all. This is actually worthless. So many Christians, so many people are fooled by this spiritual, physical iron pyrite that isn't really gold at all. It's got all the glitter, all the shapes, the forms, all that. It looks like it, but really it's not. It's not made at all of the same qualities. You see, when we're being thankful people, being thanksgiving people, you got to know what is and what ain't. You got to know what is worthy of our thanks, is worthy of our lives, is worthy of our praise, and what ain't worthy of anything. What it does, it comes down to resources versus blessings. And I'm afraid that sometimes that Christians get fooled with this fool's gold kind of thanksgiving mentality, and we thank so much for resources. Forget about the blessings. You see, resources are things like stuff, like health, like relationships. But what blessings are, as Paul talks about this in Ephesians, he talks about it in Philippians, he talks about it to the Galatians. He says, I am proud and I pray that God blesses you in all the spiritual ways, because blessings are things like power and ability and grace. You see, we have resources, stuff, things, all of that, relationships that will let us down. You know, one of the things that we pray about, God, we thank you for all, you know, the blessings that we have, and we can even list them, this building and our homes and our cars. You know, we've prayed for those things. We thank God for our nice vehicles. And we do. We think that way. Let your transmission go out on a family vacation. What kind of blessing is that car now? Thank you for my beautiful wife, for my wonderful husband. Thank you for that. And that's great, but let that relationship fail. Is that a blessing? I'm not trying to say that these things are not worth anything. But what I'm saying is that the Thanksgiving people understand the difference between a resource, something that is given to us in order to glorify God, and a blessing, and that is the wherewithal within us to recognize God in this world. See, when we recognize the difference between a resource and a blessing, then we can, as James says, we can consider it joy when we face trials of many kinds. Because when the transmission goes out, when the resource fails, when the food is gone, when the comfort is no more, where is the blessing, the grace, the ability to not say that I can't, but to proclaim in Jesus Christ that I can? Can we understand the difference? Can we not be easily fooled? Number two, we truly count those blessings and not problems so often. And it is sensationalized in our news and in our society to count our problems. If you watch the news at all, and of course the events of yesterday in Europe, in Paris, are absolutely ridiculously tragic. And there is not enough time on our knees to pray for all of the hurt that is going on there. But one of the things that our news here in America is good at is sensationalizing and spotlighting all that is wrong. And I'm afraid that Christ's people start to get that mentality too often. And all we do is focus on what is wrong and we forget about all that is right. What Thanksgiving people do is we don't let negativity reign. We don't focus on the health issues or the hunger or the thirst or the lack. What we focus on is that our God has raised us up to be over our circumstances, to praise Him in the midst of the lack and the hunger and the death. Some see a tragedy unfolding in Europe, just like a tragedy unfolded here on September 11th. And they ask, where is God? My question is, where isn't God? Because God is there, giving hope and peace and salvation to His people in the midst of tragedy. You know, the reality is that what a blessing it is to die in the name of the Lord. What a blessing it is to be persecuted because we wear the name. Instead of avoiding discomfort, instead of establishing life, setting up life so that there is no opportunity for persecution, we don't let negativity reign. We thank God that He's giving us the blessing of the power and the grace and the strength to endure what this world would dish out. We don't let negativity reign in ourselves, and we don't let negativity reign in others. We do not, one of the things that I talk about with my kids is that, you know, there are things that you cannot tolerate in yourself. First of all, we have to be people who will not tolerate negativity in here. We won't let it in. We won't let it rain. We won't let it stick to us. We won't let it be in here so that it won't come out. And I've told my kids when they up against it on whatever it is, whatever trial, and they gripe. And they do. If you've had kids, you know they gripe. And they complain. And they, oh, what am I going to do? And they wring their hands. And I listen. And I sympathize. And I empathize. And I, you know, try to offer advice. And then I tell them, and you remember this, you can't tolerate that whiny spirit. You can't. Because what will happen is that will take over. And then everything is seen through the lens of problem, through the lens of circumstance. And God's called you to greater. God has called you to greater. You see, one of the things that we have a problem with is 1 Peter 5 and 8. If you look at 1 Peter 5, and I'll tell you what, let's just turn there for one second because we want to see this for ourselves. 1 Peter 5 and 8, you know what he's talking about. You say he's talking about the devil. Hebrews, James, 1 Samuel. Come on. We move 1 Peter. There it is. Okay. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You know, I realized something about this verse in studying for this sermon that I've never seen before. The enemy is our enemy is the devil. And he's prowling around like a lion. He's no lion. He's just pretending. He's pretending to be a lion. Just like, you know, you've seen on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, everybody wants to dress their kids up for Halloween. And how many of you have seen as the big scary lion with the mane and the bear? You know, our kids, we made them a fuzzy bear costume when they were little. We got pictures of Hayden as a scary bear. Got his nose all painted, ears. And we taught him how to do this. Nobody was scared of him. But we run quivering from Satan as he pretends. You want to talk about his bark being worse than his bite? Jesus died on the cross, pulled his teeth. There is no bite. There is no bite. He prowls around like a lion, making all kinds of noise, but he has zero power. Zero influence. Just like Jesus said to Pilate, you don't have any power over me that I don't give you. Don't let negativity reign. Don't give the devil his teeth back. The last thing, Thanksgiving people have an eternal perspective. We don't chase what the world chases. We don't sacrifice ourselves and our effort and our relation, all of those things. We don't do that for what the world values. You see, we don't love things and use people. You've heard it. We use things, not people. We love people, not things. Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He didn't say, I go to prepare a place for you to store all of the stuff that you have. And so he says, I prepare a place for you. The most important thing in the world is not a thing at all. It's people. Thanksgiving people have an eternal perspective. We thank God for all of the power, for all of the grace, for all of the ability that we have. We tell Him what we can do. We dwell on what is good, what is noble, what is honorable, what is worthy. And we love people above everything. Because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that not only do we just not sing it, what we believe it, that this world is not our home. You know, Vic and I are going to go, we're not going to be here next Sunday, and we're going to be in Gatlinburg. And we're going to stay in one of those cabins up there. And while we're there, it's going to be night. We're going to, you know, the cabin and the woods and the wood and all that. But you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to take color swatches and decide what color to paint the walls. You know, we're not going to get there and rearrange the furniture and think, oh my goodness, this couch really doesn't go with this. We're going to have to get rid of that. We're going to have to bring in all new carpet and this, that, and the other and landscaping and all that. You know why? We're not going to settle in there. Because we're going to be there for like 2 days. And it's not ours. The problem is that so often God's people, we get here, we get settled in. And we get so comfortable that we put wall-to-wall carpeting and surround sound in this coffin of a world that is not our home, that we do not own. Why? When we can have this eternal perspective that we're going to a place, that we have a home, that we don't have to do a thing. That is being prepared and it's more glorious and more wonderful than ever. And we will not know how to handle how perfect it is when Jesus delivers it to us. Because we, people, are the most important. This holiday season, can we be Thanksgiving people? Can we have this eternal perspective that allows us to count blessings, not our problems? Can we thank God for those problems that allow us to use the blessings, not the resource, but the blessings to overcome them? And can we not be fooled and not be blinded, as Satan would like us to be, by the fool's gold that is out there? This morning I'm calling us to be Thanksgiving people. To allow the glory of God to just be our every moment, our every breath, our every sight, our every sound. Do you want to be that kind of person? Do you want to live that kind of life, that life? And we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks. The joy that is ours, the immeasurable joy that comes with being a Thanksgiving person. So Steve, don't steal that next week. That's mine. In 2 weeks. The joy of Thanksgiving. You can have all the other topics. He's not that one. The joy, the immeasurable joy that is ours, you want that life. For some, you might be living that life and have taken a step back from it and just want to come back to it. For some, you might want to start that. And it starts with confessing Christ and being baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection. And finally, for the first time in your life, having something to truly be thankful for, whatever that need is, wherever you are in your walk. I'm going to be up front. You can come forward and we can talk about it and pray about it. Whatever your need is, let us know as together we stand and sing.